that life forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
Chronicle here with you on the Fan 203 as we take it till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a great Father's Day. I did, except for my Yankees, because of course, well, they lost two of three to the Red Sox, and now the season's over, which is a bummer. I was really hyped up for this year. I was looking forward to it, and to have it end in June is really disappointing. I gotta be honest with you. But hey, let's talk about the positive first. We'll get to those Yankees. But the Mets are on fire. Just when you thought you were out, they sucked you back in. As the Mets have won 5 in a row, 9 of 11, sweep the Padres in this important stretch that we told you. As we said goodbye to you on Friday, we told you about this stretch for the Mets, playing all these winnable games against under 500 teams. I know the Padres are now under 500. We're a couple games over 500, but a Padres team that is by no means anything special. And to have the homestand that they've had, where they've won 5 of 6, right? And they're on the precipice of losing a terrible game against the Marlins. They come through and win that game. They finish it off with a sweep of the Padres. And, I mean, we talk about it. What do you believe in this team? And I think that's where the fan base is. And I'm sure the fan base is really split on what to do with this team. But I'll tell you why I do take a lot out of this stretch of baseball and of these games. Because we talk about it. I talk about it a lot. The strength of this team was going to have to be its offense. We knew what the rotation was coming in, and it's been better than you could have hoped for. And we knew the bullpen, although they made some additions and you thought they could be strong, they've gone through a bunch of different injuries and you know, the Lopez thing and now Diaz coming back. But ultimately, you knew the offense was going to have to carry this team if they were going to get anywhere. And you knew they could. Like, if you look at the names on the roster, they should be good enough. And now you start to see, as Lindor is waking up, as hopefully this 3-run home run again for Alonso in the first inning can open him up and get him going. And now JD Martinez, who was the only addition they made, and we talked about it when he signed here, that he was a stabilizing professional hitter in the middle of the lineup that was desperately needed for this team to actually be something offensively, right? He was desperately needed, just another guy. You didn't need to go out there and do a ton, right? You put money into you put money into Nimmo. You put money into, obviously, Lindor with the enormous contract. You got, unfortunately, McNeil still make, you know, under contract, and he's still as terrible as ever. I mean, if he are blue, it used to be, oh, typical. Jeff McNeil with a nice blue pit over the first pit. Now that's all he does. Every once in a while, he'll give you a blue pit. But ultimately, this offense and their instant nature of popping back, like what I like about what yesterday's game was, is the immediacy of getting right back on top of San Diego here, where they give up the run in the first, and then boom, you're tied at 1 with Lindor. The 3-run home run from Alonso makes it 4-1. And then, of course, what happens in the 8th inning. And that's the other thing. It's not only just the offense that is completely turned around, and the strength has to be the strength, no doubt. But you could just get the feel how many times, both the Friday night game and then, of course, Sunday's game here yesterday, where you're watching that game and you're watching it slip away and you're watching it fall apart, and you fully expect the Mets to lose this game. You fully expect them to lose. All year long, they have done this. All year long, they have blown saves. They have blown leads. And for that 8th inning to go the way it did, and then to come right back in the bottom of the 8th and score the 4 runs and put this game on easy street, is an enormous win for this team. and the offense, who did it against a pitcher in Dylan Cease, who is a top-of-the-league pitcher, who has been an ace in this league for the White Sox, who's having a very good year, to jump on him early, score four runs in the first, take the big lead, watch it almost slip away, and then come right back with four runs in the eighth. The team is starting to show fight. And whether it was back to the meeting, whatever the case may be, whenever this thing started to turn around, you knew it was going to have to turn around with the offense. And Nimmo has done nothing, and then look at this weekend. J.D. Martinez, it was taking some time for him to start to get a rhythm here, and now what, he had a streak of 10 straight at-bats, getting on base, hitting multiple home runs, hitting big home runs, walk-off home runs, the first of his career. Big hits in the middle of that lineup. Marte's having a good year. And now if you could get Lindor and if you can get Alonso to go along with J.D. Martinez to get going in the middle of this lineup, Alvarez is back. Like, this lineup has the potential as you look around the rest of the National League. Hell, if you look around the rest of baseball. Right? No one's, you know, Atlanta, their offense has completely fallen apart. They can't score runs. No one's expecting you to catch Philadelphia, but as you look around the rest of the National League, and yes, they are now a game and a half out of the wild card. And as much as I might tell you, I don't know if I believe in this team yet, a game and a half, you can't argue it. And I can tell you how many teams they have to jump over. I don't think any of them, are superior to the Mets in any way. And if you start looking at tiebreakers, which might become important here when you're trying to get through all these teams. I was listening to Evan's podcast on the way in, and they have tiebreaker except everyone except San Francisco. They've got the tiebreaker on everyone but San Francisco. They got the tiebreaker on they're tied with Arizona, they're tied with the Cubs, they got the tiebreaker on St. Louis. They've got the tiebreaker now on the Padres. Like, they've played well against the teams that are in front. They got the tiebreaker against the Cincinnati Reds. Like, other than the Giants, all these teams that are in front of them, they've played well. These games are important. These games against the Cubs coming up are going to be important. And right now, it feels like, and I know it's the recency bias, they've won 9 of 11. They haven't lost a series going back to the Lopez game and the Dodger series. And they've just played a crisper, cleaner game. Even McNeil. Who still is terrible offensively, makes the big defensive play Friday night. His ability to play outfield and infield still gives him some value here, despite his bat being terrible. But he made a huge play defensively at second base. He's capable in the outfield. But this lineup has started to get it going. And as you see, and now they are what? Four games under 500. They've won 9 of 11, 5 in a row. And this offense has kind of woken up here. And yesterday's performance against Dylan Cease, to go down 1-0 in a game, and when you start to feel things like this, like the Mets typically, right? If they're going to play the series against the Padres, they take the first two. Right? You got McGill on the mound, pitching relatively well recently. He's kind of probably due for a blow-up. He gives up one run in the first against Dylan Cease, and boom! It's tied before you sit down, and then Alonso hits the three-run home run, and you've put up four in the first inning against a damn good pitcher. And then even though the eighth inning and the bullpen still scares you, no doubt there's still holes on this team. Absolutely. And they're going to have to do it more than just this. Now they're going to have to go on the road, and you know what? They've been better on the road. This is an important homestand to go 5-6 because they've been terrible at home, dating back to the first series of the year, the first homestand of the year. And then the 10-game homestand, and we told you how important that was. They were miserable on that homestand. To have a good homestand, to come back from the Philadelphia series in London, to be able to build on the sweep of the Nationals, the two games against Philadelphia, that miraculous win, come back, you get the enormous win, which I think right now, as much as we might want to date back, they've been playing better baseball for longer than this. If you want to date back to the meeting, you want to date back to the Lopez situation, whatever you want to date back to, that win against Miami, That home run from JD Martinez, that is an enormous swing game that propels you into this series where you take all three. Because if you come back from London and you lose 2 of 3 to the lousy Marlins, it just sets the homestand in a negative tone. Instead, they get off the deck, they get JD's first walk-off career home run, and it sets up leading into this Padres series. You're getting good starting pitching, the bullpen's bend but don't break, and the offense that needs to be the catalyst for this team. Where you got Nimmo, who's been struggling, has a great weekend. Alonso hits the big home run, and you're hoping you can get him started because, let's be honest, his season right now has been extremely disappointing. He's on pace for, what, 30 and 70? I mean, numbers way down for Pete Alonso. Marte's, you know, been pretty good for a while now. I mean, there's Vientos really struggled this weekend for the first time as a, you know, this season. There are the lineup top to bottom with, you know, the way the JD Martinez now has changed this, the middle of the order has been so much better and makes you feel so much better about this team moving forward because it would have to be the offense. If they just went through this series shutting down the Padres offense and won these games 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, I might not feel the same way. Scoring these runs, bouncing back after being down, having these late inning rallies fall short and still claiming victory, it feels a little bit different. And it feels like the momentum is turning. And so as you head into this stretch now where you're going to go on the road and play some big games, this is where you can turn your season around. And they're going to have to, because I talked about it the last time we spoke on Friday. They don't have a lot of time. Because in my opinion, they have a GM who'd probably rather break it down. He can't do it if they put themselves in a position to win. He can't do it. They don't have 3 months. The season's not just halfway through. Hey, they got plenty of time. No, they have a few weeks here to really put themselves in a position where it doesn't make sense to trade away pieces in this rotation. It doesn't make sense to trade away JD Martinez. It only makes sense to chase it because anything can happen. They have a brief moment here to put themselves in a position where the GM can't do what he wants. And as much as I've been down on this team, as much as I'm still not sure how I feel about them, I'll tell you what, this brand of baseball they've played here during this homestand, the offense waking up, hopefully Alonso turning it around, and JD Martinez being a stabilizing force in the middle of that lineup, who's a career RBI man, who's come through with big hits, who's getting on base. And if you could ever get Nimmo turned around, Lindor is turning it around, and the middle of this lineup, which we said heading into the year, on paper, can be as good as anyone. As I'm watching the Braves have continued to struggle offensively, no one in this National League scares me. So why not the Mets? Why not the Mets? Why not believe? Why not believe? Because if it's the offense doing it, I believe it. If this was straight up reliant on a great start from Severino, McGill gives you a great performance, you win these games tight, I might not feel the same way. Because this offense needed to explode. They needed to get some good signs from it. They needed to perform well at home. They checked off a bunch of boxes in this homestand and in this series against San Diego. And for me, right now, looking at this team, why not the Mets, who are now a game and a half out? And I think right now we can put the conversation about who they trade away. I think you could put the Pete Alonso conversation away for a brief time. You can put away the idea of JD Martinez getting traded and Severino getting traded. Ideas that I've perpetuated over the last 2 weeks. I think you put it away and watch what they do over this next road trip and see if they can get themselves in a position where they are right there for the wild card. And if that's the case, you can't make any deals at the deadline because you have to chase this thing. And no, it's not Grimace. I'm tired of watching this stupid highlight. Does anybody care? It's Grimace's birthday, throwing out the first pitch in those ugly City Connect jerseys. My God. But that's the negative. The positive is the Mets are back. And tell me, Mets fans, how do you feel about it? 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019, and then we'll get to the Yankees, who obviously had a dreadful series against the Red Sox after pouring it on in Game 1. You got the first pitch home run from Verdugo, and it just felt like, oh yeah, the Yankees are going to roll. And then all the different things, because this team is not perfect. And as much as I'll tell you how good they are, And I'm going to defend a lot of you idiots tonight, I'm sure, talking about how they're not nearly as good as you think. This is going to be 2022 all over again. There are flaws with this team. And the Red Sox, of all the teams this year, the Yankees have lost series. They just lost a series to L.A. They've had moments where they haven't played well. They've been shut out five times earlier in the season. But no team has yet shown the wounds and the holes of this Yankee team the way the Red Sox did the last 2 days. And we'll get to it. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to a call right now. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, T-Mac. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not bad. So, you kind of alluded to it with JD. Kind of, real quick, you look at it from a whole city standpoint, it's kind of crazy. You look at, if you could single out, obviously you guys got Soto too, but talk about Verdugo and Martinez and Queens, kind of two culture shifters, and the fact that more likely than not, both are going to be one and done here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Martinez especially, it seems like Verdugo kind of seems like, pick your poison with you guys. Obviously, you'd rather have either one, but as far as, JD goes, I mean, listen, and I think one thing with Martinez is when they had the players-only meeting, they interviewed some of the guys in the clubhouse, and JD specifically had a quote that I think he got some crap for. But if you look at it, telling the truth, telling it as it was. He basically said that, the league looks at us as a bunch of losers, and, if that's the case, there's essentially no pressure on us.
Yeah.
And if everybody just expects us to go out there and lose, and then why would the pressure be on us in the first place? And he's honestly right. Anybody talking about it as loser talk or whatnot, it's true. And, from that sentiment of just going out there and playing ball, I mean, they're playing winning baseball right now. Looking at it from house money standpoint, not so much. But, I mean, they got nothing to prove to anybody, and they're on a five-game winning streak. Now, you bring up the game and a half back, that's kind of fool's gold because, where there are like six, seven teams in between them that are like a half game back.
I agree with you, and I've been saying that, that it's not just the games, it's the amount of teams ahead of them. But if you start to look at it, they've played well against those teams. Mm-hmm. Other than San Francisco, I believe they're either tied against them or have won more games and have the tiebreaker against almost all the teams ahead of them. It is still only a game and a half. Like, if it were four or five, six games, and you say to yourself, well, you could make up six games, you could make up five games, it's not that big a deal, and yet there are all these teams ahead of you, that's when you really start to say, well, yes, it's not really five games, though, is it? This is a game and a half. I mean, you're right.
Yeah,
it's all jumbled up, but it's a game and a half.
Well, they got some of these teams coming up. I think they got the Cubs next weekend.
Right.
I know they're going to Texas right now. They got the teams coming up.
Yeah.
And I know prior to the homestand, you were kind of bringing up how crucial it was and the fact that were they like 3-7 they finished and how many of those were the bullpen issues. And I think two of them specifically against San Fran, you just brought up, is one of those teams where two of those bullpen slip-ups, two of those six games they had
with
their hands and let up split. So I think you look back at that as, now there's a lot more lost value to those games. You win, let's say, four out of those six of those games, and you're in one of those wild card spots. So,
absolutely. There's no doubt. The amount of games they've blown and Diaz's kind of, hiccup or lack of confidence that he went through is killer for this team. There's no doubt. I mean, a couple of the games they blew are devastating losses. The one in Miami against the D-backs. Like, there are games that just absolutely kill you. But that doesn't change the fact of where they are. But you're right. They got the series against the Rangers, and then they have a weekend series against the Cubs where they've split a four-game set at home already. If they, that's an important series now as you start to look into making hay into this wild card race. They have to win two out of three.
Got to keep pace.
And then you're playing the Yankees, who are clearly falling apart, and that should be an easy two wins against the Yankees. And then you got the Astros, who are having a miserable season and just devastated by injury. So we talked about this stretch all the way up until the All-Star break. Like, they're playing a lot of average teams to below average teams, under 500 teams to start July. Then you get a four-game set against the Nationals and a four-game set against Pittsburgh for an eight-game road trip. You come home against the Nationals and Rockies. I mean, those are the teams leading into this All-Star break. This team could look completely different as we sit at the All-Star break. They're four games under 500 right now. They are they're a game and a half behind the wild card with a bunch of teams in between them, no doubt. But I mean, in the next 3 weeks, you could feel completely different about this team.
No, I mean, listen, it takes one run from any team. I mean, you look at Arizona last year, you know, just to point out two teams, you brought up the Cubs. I mean, they had that wild card spot essentially locked up, and then speaking of letting stuff slip, in 2 weeks they let that whole spot slip. Arizona snuck in, you know, the rest was history. So, you know, right. You brought up golden opportunities. You know, you let some slip early on. You know, you make up for them, and, hey, man, just stay part of the course. You brought Diaz, looks solid against Miami, hitting triple digits on the gun. So,
yep.
I don't know, man. They got to move the needle.
Yeah, but, and another thing that I think I like a lot about the manager, too, I think it's kind of gone underrated, and I think people just assumed, like, once it happened, it felt like, oh, well, what else was he going to do? They didn't have to put Diaz right back to the closer. He's coming off the injury. He lost his job. He did nothing to earn it back. He comes back from the injury, and he's told he's the closer again. And he's come in, and he's been good for the most part. A little shaky, but, I mean, that's what I think that was a smart move from this manager. And look, is he perfect? No. Could you nitpick some of the things that happened in this inning? Do you want to? Could you let, you know, Hauser go a little bit deeper into this game? Sure. He's someone who's been stretched out. He was in the rotation earlier. He's pitched well since he's been moved to the bullpen. He's going all right. No need to rush to put in, who came in next? Diekman. But, I mean, overall, I think he's dealt with a struggling offense, a bullpen that's fallen apart around him, and just an overall vibe to the team that I'll give it to him. Sometimes meetings are meaningless unless you turn around and play like this, but I admit, J.D. Martinez, who's been as big a part of this stretch of good baseball, obviously, in the middle of this lineup, has referenced it several times. Has referenced the meeting several times. And you know what? Perception's reality. And if he's going to tell us all the meeting made a difference, and if they're going to believe the meeting made a difference, then the meeting made a difference. But to me, that game in against Miami was the turning point. And yes, you wanted to go sweep this series. Now you're on a bit of momentum here. You can go back to playing solid baseball further than that. But I think that game, if you lose 2 out of 3 to Miami, it just kills you. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't have bounced back and won 3 against San Diego, but I felt like they wouldn't have. But, I mean, yeah, they're all jumbled up. They are still behind everybody except the Rockies and the Marlins. They are tied with the Cubs. They're half a game back of Pittsburgh. They're half a game back of the Reds. But, like, if you look at it, all the teams that are ahead of them, right, the Cardinals, they have the tiebreaker. They lost 2 out of 3 and then took the 2-game set. That was rained out the third game, which I guess they'll have a game coming up later in the year. They just swept the Padres. They've swept the Nationals. They split with the Diamondbacks. They've lost to San Francisco. They won the series against the Reds. I believe they swept Pittsburgh, but they at least won the series against Pittsburgh. They've split with the Cubs and have the series coming up. Like, they are right there with all these teams. They're no less than a game and a half behind San Diego and pretty much a half a game behind everybody else. And they've played well and won these games against the teams that are ahead of them. There is no reason that the Mets, who have won 8 of their last 10, 9 of their last 11, and 5 in a row, whose offense is starting to wake up, who just had their first real, what feels like successful, winning homestand. The offense is getting it together. The starting rotation has been good. Even the guys McGill, I stepped in and pitched well. You finally got Quintana, gave you a good start on Saturday. Like, you're starting to get all the pieces to fall in, which to me is namely the offense. Because despite Quintana, you kind of have had a decent starting rotation. And the first month or so, the bullpen was very good. The main reason this team's been losing, the reason they are where they are, the reason they're four games under 500, is because this offense has stunk. The offense has been wildly inconsistent. Lindor got off to a terrible start. Alonso still really hasn't looked like himself. Nimmo has gone up and down and up and down. McNeil is absolutely washed, in my opinion. He looks awful at the plate. J.D. Martinez was injured for the first three or four weeks, whatever it was, and then come back, and it's taken him some time to get his footing. But we know what he's capable of. And right now it feels like he, solidifying the middle of the order and Lindor at least getting a little bit hot, has kind of transformed the offense. And if the offense is going to be the strength of the team, then they can still be what we hoped they could be, which was a team that can score some runs and maybe get some good starting pitching And honestly, they still have guys in the wings. They're the minor league, the guys in AAA right now, the starting pitching depth, when you look at McGill and Peterson and obviously Christian Scott down in the minor leagues, like they've got some arms here where I'm actually, and if Kodai Senga ever comes back, like you feel pretty good about the rotation. Right? The bullpen right now, if Diaz can at least get back to being, you know, a 80% of what he was 2 years ago. Like this team, there's no reason this team can't figure out a way to compete in this National League if they're going to swing the bats like this. And that's what's changed over the last 11 games or 15 games or since the team meeting. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you until 5 o'clock. We'll take your baseball calls. I do want to get to something football related a little bit later in the show. We could spend more time on it tomorrow, but there has been a comparison made by almost everybody that is driving me up a wall. There has been a giant comparison that is just driving me absolutely crazy.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, the Mets season's back on. 235. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. What a great weekend for the Mets and the Met fans on a Father's Day. Beautiful weekend. I was outside playing wiffle ball all day today. My son is relentless. He's just relentless. I appreciate it. It's changed. Something snapped in him. I don't know what it was. But now he can't get enough of playing sports. And I was out there with him all day. All day. We went to the pool for a little bit. Then we went to my in-law's house. And he's just trying to, like, I'm like, bro, you want to just hang out with your grandfather for like a little bit? Say happy Father's Day? No. I got to be out there throwing him pitches in the backyard nonstop. He won't stop. Dad, I need you to pitch to me. I need you to pitch. That's all he wants to do. I appreciate it. But, you know, every once in a while on Father's Day, I thought the whole point of Father's Day is I don't have to bother with my kids. Isn't that what Father's Day is all about? So you could just sit there and say, no, Mom's going to help you today? I thought that's certainly what I feel like Mother's Day is about. No. Making sure Mom gets a break. But it's almost like Father's Day is like, oh, what are you going to do, especially as father of two sons? Like, what are you going to do with the kids today? Okay. I guess I'll pitch them baseballs all day long. Nah, it was fun. We had a good day. Pool is always good. Pool, the in-laws. My father's a chef, so the food's always delicious. And we got to watch the Mets, and then, of course, the Yankees fall apart. And again, we'll get into it later. 888-808-1019. What does Cashman do in the offseason? How does he make sure that this miserable season that ended in June in Boston doesn't happen like this again next year? I don't know what we're going to do. They're going to have to figure something out because, you know, it's just a year after year after year, disappointing ends. And for this one to end in the middle of June is just, it's very disappointing, especially in first place. You don't get a lot of seasons that end while you're in first place. And so this one really is a gut punch. And I'm struggling with it. I'll wrap my mind around it eventually, but it's tough. I mean, in first place, you feel like you're about to go play a big series in Baltimore and just to have it all end in Boston when you're against the third place team who beat you a couple of days, and it's just, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And then, the other manager is just so brilliant. You know, I love that one. Cora is just, what a great manager Cora is. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's almost as if he had, like, really speedy guys and then realized the catcher behind the plate can't throw and then just kept having his guys run. I mean, brilliant. Who could have seen that coming? I mean, he managed circles around Boone. I mean, the team's just an absolute disaster, and really, it's a frustrating end of the year. So we'll put it in later in the 3 o'clock hour. We will talk about how Brian Cashman puts the pieces together and builds it again for next year. How do they sign Juan Soto? Should that process start right now? Although, does he want to stay with the team whose season ended in June? Probably not. So let's just assume he's going to the Mets. Now, do you keep Verdugo? Obviously, Jason Dominguez is hurt. He's probably going to be gone for 3 or 4 years. So Yankees have a lot of work to do. We got to figure it out. Let's talk about the Mets first. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Peter?
How are you, Chris? Chris, can I ask you a music question before I get to my question? Because I heard you with Paulie the other day. So yes. Can I throw that question at you? Maybe you can explain it to me.
Yeah.
So you said that, what was it, Magical Mystery Tour and Penny Lane were on a single back-to-back. So was number one, what's considered the number one record? Is it Penny Lane or Magical Mystery Tour? How does that work?
Okay, wait, I'm confused. All right, I don't think I did say that. If Penny Lane was clearly a single. All right,
and then the other side was Penny, Magical Mystery Tour.
That I don't remember that. No, I don't think I said that. If you might be right though, I don't know what you're talking about. The B side of the single.
Right.
It might have been Magical Mystery Tour. I definitely didn't say that because I don't know that.
All right. But let's say that was the case.
The A side's the number one song because Penny Lane.
I got it.
Did go number one, and
I got it.
Actually, I'm not sure if it went number one in America only, and it doesn't matter. But yes, Penny Lane went number one, and not the B side. So, yeah,
that was hilarious, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad you had a great Father's Day. But I just had a general question with the trade deadline. So let's say you're a marginal team. So I'll take you last year with the Angels. So the Angels last year were buyers. And basically, they fell out of the playoff. So to me, the expanded playoff is a risk for teams. You know, if they're wrong, they lose players. So in your view, your expert view, what are the factors marginal teams now should be looking at trade deadlines? In other words, what are the key factors to look at? So as an example, the Angels last year, you know, they became buyers. They got nothing for Otani.
Right.
They lost the key players, and they didn't make the playoffs. So that's my question to you, and thank you for taking my call. And again, Chris, you're my favorite sports host. I told you that before, so I'm saying it again. Thank you so much.
You got it, Peter. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything other to monitor except how you feel about your team. How much faith and belief do you have that your team could use a couple of pieces and compete? Where are you in the standings? I mean, Steve Cohen talked about it last year, about where they were in the standings, the likelihood of making the playoffs, was it worth it when they could sell away pieces and get better for the next couple of years? I mean, that's all you're determining. The problem is look at the National League. Let's take the National League for a second, and we'll look in, you know, the American League is a little bit different. But the National League right now, other than the Rockies and the Marlins, everybody else is within a game and a half of the playoffs. That's what makes the trade deadline so difficult. Every team in the National League outside of two are right there. I mean right there. A game and a half. The Mets are the furthest team out besides the Rockies and the Marlins, and they're a game and a half out of the wild card. How do you legitimately sell off when you're a game and a half out? That's what the point of this extra wild card is. Whether you like it or not, the point is you're going to keep all these teams in a pennant race. You're going to keep Pittsburgh in a pennant race. You're going to keep the Reds in a pennant race. How can the Reds trade away? They're three games under 500. They're a game out of the wild card. How does a team like the Reds, like a young building team who's trying to do, how do you pass up on a chance, even if there was an opportunity to get better? For next year and the year after, as you're building something, like, how do you pass up chasing down a playoff spot when the Padres currently sit in the position one game under 500 and the Cardinals are the second wild card, 35-35? I mean, that's what makes this so difficult. Not only are less teams, you know, less teams are selling. That's the problem. Whether the Mets determined to buy or sell, one, who are they going to buy from, and then who are they going to sell to? Like, it's just, it's tough, man. It is tough. Because all these teams have decisions to make. In the American League, it's a little bit different, where, you know, the same level of team is 11 and a half games out. The Angels are the third worst team in the American League. They're 11 and a half out. The Red Sox are the first team out of the playoffs, and they're only three games back, but that's it. Everyone else, 4.5, 5.5, 6. Like, the National League is really just all jumbled up into one big ball of mediocrity that is competing for a playoff spot. for two playoff spots. Say the Braves are up, right? And you assume the offense will turn it around. They'll get better even without Acuña. You would figure, but hey, maybe not. But right now, two playoff spots are right at 500. The Mets are two games back of being the second wild card. Jeff in Fairview. What's up, Jeff?
How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, man. Mets, you got to believe.
You got to believe.
And before the season started, I told you I like McGill. I think he's going to get better and better as the year goes on. Alonso looks like we can't do without Alonso. He's got a hit, and finally had a good game. Especially after the strikeout, J.D. Martinez strikes out. He gets in the bottom there. He gets that single drive in two. That was big. He came through there.
Yep.
And on the Beatles, the A side is Penny Lane, and the A side is Strawberry Fields Forever on the same 45. It ain't Magical Mystery Tour. They're both A sides. I think that was the first both A sides 45 in the history of rock and roll. Maybe they had one before that. I'm not sure, but that's definitely Magical Mystery Tour was not on that. It was Strawberry Fields Forever. And Penny Lane.
Yeah, I mean, I was unaware of the B sides of those singles. I'll be honest with you. I know I'm a Beatles fan, but that was 1967. I don't remember the B side of the singles, but I'll take your word for it. They were both obviously singles. Those two songs were the first two songs recorded during the Sgt. Pepper recording sessions. They decided to release them as singles and not put them on the album. They later released them on the Magical Mystery Tour album. But those two songs, Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, were the first two songs they recorded in the recording studio in what became the Sgt. Pepper recording sessions. But they released them as singles, didn't put them on the album. I didn't know which one was A or B, but obviously two number one hits, I believe. James in Morristown. What's up, James?
Yeah, hey, Mick. Hey, in the last inning of the Met game, they brung Alvarez in. Was there something wrong with the other guy? Because he had just homered the last time up. And they brung Alvarez in.
Yeah.
Did you understand why they did that?
No. I mean, I saw it. I assumed it was just because they had a big lead and giving him a break. But you're right. I don't know. I didn't see in the post game. It was Father's Day. So I got to be honest. I didn't stick around and watch every second of the post game. But no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, because I thought it was odd, because you wouldn't want to use your backup catcher unless there was an injury to the other guy,
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard that he's injured or anything. He did, he's been a godsend for them. I mean, to the point where they got rid of Tomas Nito.
What's his name again?
Torrens.
Torrens, I'm sorry, that's the guy.
Yeah,
because he hit the homer, and then they brung in Alvarez. The announcers were saying maybe because they were thinking of bringing Diaz in. They wanted Alvarez to catch Diaz because he's got, a relationship with him, So that might have been the reason. All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. But, yeah, Torrens has been really good. He has. He's been very, very good. He's been a nice addition to the team. He's done a lot to help the offense. But that was a big hit. Now, listen, I think if Machado was in the game, he might have been able to make that play. But they're not a very good defensive team. They got Arraez playing first base. I mean, Tatis is an excellent outfielder, and Machado can play third base, but they have a lot of flaws. They're not a very good team, the Padres. They're just not. But they can throw some good starting pitching at you, and they did. I'm sorry?
I have the official answer on why Alvarez came in.
Okay, yeah.
Mendoza said after the game, Alvarez entered in case Diaz had
That's
to come.
That's what the caller just said, yeah. They only want to throw Diaz to Alvarez. So that was it. I mean, you're risking your catcher there, I guess, late in the game. Not that big a deal. You take the chance. Worst comes to worst. They got to have an emergency catcher. But probably Jeff McNeil. They'll probably throw Jeff McNeil back there.
Probably better at that than hitting.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. I mean, it's funny because now the only hits he gets are the typical, that's a Jeff McNeil single. That's all he does.
It's a bloop to the right spot.
Yeah, exactly. It used to be you'd mix that in and go, oh, he's such great bat-to-ball skills that he comes up with hits like that. That's how you win a batting title. Now it's like, that's how you hover around 200.
Right, he used to drive the ball, hit line drives, yes. Direct where he wanted it to go. Now yes. It's, sometimes the pop-ups are to the right
sometimes
spot.
Sometimes they land, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. But yeah, no, he's done. Listen, he made a great play Friday night. Can't argue that. Made a great play. Made a great defensive play to help save the game. And Marte made a good play in the outfield yesterday, although if you watch it, he took a terrible angle to it and was forced to make that sliding catch. But for me, it's the offense. It's the runs they're scoring. It's Nimmo had a great series, and you needed that from Nimmo desperately. Lindor is starting to come around. J.D. Martinez has, you know, been the best hitter on the team by far. And hopefully this gets Alonso going. Three-run home run helped in the rally late. Marte's already kind of come around. He's having a good year. Vientos had a poor series, but has been pretty good for the Mets. Torrens has been great. And Bader's been pretty clutch. I mean, you look at Bader, to have his defensive skills, to play the defense that he plays, to have as many clutch hits as he's had, and to have, you know, a 272 batting average with a 700 OPS, that's a useful player. It's not an all-star player. It's not a great player. But for someone who's been as clutch as he's been, and he's come through with many a clutch hit, and then to play the level of defense he does in center field, 272 and a 704 OPS, that's about as much as you could have asked from Harrison Bader. He's had a very solid year for the Mets. Had a very solid year. But that's, you know, this is about this offense coming around because the starting pitching's been great. I mean, it really has. It's been relatively really good. The bullpen has clearly struggled here. You know, whether it's the injuries they've been dealing with, Reed Garrett kind of coming back to earth. Same thing with Ottavino. Both of them got off to these great starts. They've come back down to earth. Diaz had his moments. You know, lose Raley to injury. And you're still, you know, trying to get by in that bullpen. And hopefully Diaz can, you know, reestablish himself as at least being good enough to be your closer. And that should settle some things down. But this offense has just been terrible all year, particularly at home, where the Mets are actually over 500 on the road, and they've just struggled at home. It's supposed to be the other way around. If you have an over 500 on the road, a record on the road, you're supposed to be a winning team. And they've been so terrible at home. And so to score four runs early on Dylan Cease, who's one of the best pitchers in the National League, and then to avoid blowing it in the eighth and come right back and score four more runs to give yourself that cushion heading into the ninth, that's a good, solid win, and it's a great weekend. They've won 9 of 11, 5 in a row, and they are right there. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. You can still be the pessimistic Met fan. I'm sure a lot of you are out there, and you can call me at 888-808-1019. I'm sure you don't still. There's still reason to not believe in the team. There's still the holes. The lineup has to do this more than just 11 games. I'm on board. Pete Alonso has to get going now. It's not just enough to hit a random three-run home run, as important as it might have been in that first inning. You know, they've got to continue this. J.D. Martinez has got to continue this. They've got to get on a roll here and work themselves back. Now, you've got a six-game road trip against the underachieving and struggling Texas Rangers, whose offense is not nearly as potent as it was certainly at the end of the season last year, or really at any point last year. The bullpen's been bad. And you're going into Texas and Chicago against a struggling Cubs team as well. I mean, this is time to go out and take a couple series and get, you know, right back into this thing. If you could take both series, then you're two games under 500. And you're right there. You've taken another team where if you win the Cubs series, now you got another team you got the tiebreaker against heading into a possible wild card and pennant race here. And you've got to put yourself, and that's why this time is so important. I'll say it again. They're doing it at the right time because there was really no time to spare. They had a week, and now they have a few weeks. Like, they have to do it now because I firmly believe from the owner on down, the owner and the GM both want to change the feel of this team and want to make it Stearns. Like, I fully believe that. So they have to put themselves in a position where he can't do that. Because there will come, I don't care what kind of Met fan you are, right? Stearns can't turn to the fan base. And this owner can't turn to the fan base and say, hey, look, I know we're a half a game out of the playoffs, but we don't believe in this team. We're breaking it down. We're trading away J.D. Martinez. We're trading away Severino. You know, we're trading away, you know, Marte's played well enough where we can get something for him. We're making every trade we can. And we're going to bolster this team for the next couple of years. And, you know, that's where we are right now. I mean, you can't look at the fan base and say that. You can't look at the fan base that just showed up, had a nice crowd on Father's Day, watching this team sweep the Padres. And if they continue to play well and thrust themselves in a position where they're a half a game out with only a game or two, ahead, a team or two ahead of them, you can't turn to the fan base and say we're punting on the rest of this year. You can't turn to the fan base and lie to them and say, hey, we have enough pitching depth to still trade away Severino and be okay. Hey, we still have enough offense in the middle of this lineup to trade away J.D. Martinez and be okay. Or we still have enough, you know, in whatever. You can't do that. You can't do that. So this is the season right here for the Mets, and they got off to a hell of a start the last 11 games as they've won 9 of 11, haven't lost a series since the team meeting and losing, getting swept by the Dodgers. The offense is turning it around, and hopefully Diaz can reestablish himself as the closer of this team, and then you go about it. Then you go about it. But we're going to learn a lot from them next week. This is critical baseball for the New York Mets. For you Met fans out there, this is very much like playoff baseball. These games mean everything because I do believe you have a GM dying to trade away and shape this team for the future. And that, I mean, it might be the right thing to do, but there will come a point if this team continues to play like this where you can't do it. Just can't do it. So these are critical games if you want to chase a pennant. If you want to have a pennant race, now is the time. 2:55, McMonagle here with you. 1 hour down, two more to go as I take it till 5 o'clock in the warm show. We'll do Yankees in the next hour. Continue to take your phone calls on the Mets. But the Yankees had a rough series in Boston, and they got exposed in a couple of different elements of their game. And we'll talk about it next as they got embarrassed with their defense and embarrassed in the run game.